We often do not talk about chemistry or competency.
I heard this phrase often, clarity is kindness. And it'd be kind of like marriage, I think of. You don't want someone holding back what they truly are.
I think we get into problems by simply assuming that we're all on the same page.
That's the very first step, getting clarity on who you are.
Welcome to the Lutheran Church Planter, a podcast exploring the theology, philosophy, and practice of planting new Lutheran congregations. My name is Andy Coyle, host and church planter and director of AFLC Home Missions, joined by my co-host, Matthew Ballman, church planter down in San Antonio, Texas. And this season, we've been looking at blueprints for starting a congregation, trying to be practical, trying to be helpful as you, maybe as a congregation or as a pastor, as a potential church planter, think through the different aspects about church planting and all the things that they entail. Last season, we really dug more into the theology and some of the philosophy, and this just kind of flows naturally. We're kind of in a mini arc of episodes within this season, just really focusing in on the pastor, and we're building these episodes around these four C's. Calling, are you called by God to be a pastor, and is that calling confirmed through the congregation? And go back and listen to that episode. The most recent episode was character. Do I qualify based not on my own ideas or anything that the culture says, but do I qualify as a pastor based on the Bible? Today, we're going to be looking at chemistry, and the next week, competency. Chemistry, do I fit, right? Am I a good fit for a congregation? And we're going to break down what that looks like. And then competency, has God gifted me with the skills necessary to be an effective and fruitful pastor? There is going to be some specific application to you as maybe a planter, but in many cases, these episodes are really designed for our congregations and for all pastors. Maybe you're a call team looking at a potential pastor. Maybe you're a pastor looking at a potential congregation. Maybe you're trying to think through, do I want to be a church planter? This episode and these episodes really are designed for you, despite maybe some of the application that might be more narrow. So again, we've already hit calling, we've already hit character. And I think within the AFLC, these are the two things that we talk about a lot. You know, am I called by God, and do I have the moral background to be able to do this? We often do not talk about chemistry or competency. Do I fit? Am I gifted? And it's an interesting thing, because instinctively, we all know that these are issues, right? These are super important issues. In fact, we've all seen it, right? A church or a pastor completely hurt, maybe, because of the wrong fit or other things. So we know that these two issues really have the power to bless or burn down a pastor or a congregation. And so it's really important for us to talk about them, just because we know instinctively they matter, right? And so today we're going to be talking about chemistry. Again, this is an overarching category, just like every category we've been talking about. But as we talk about chemistry, we're going to talk about chemistry related to our convictions. And that's a big thing, right? And maybe just helpful as we talk about chemistry, think alignment, think agreement, think unity in those areas. We want that. We're just simply using chemistry as a C to make it all kosher and nice. But chemistry of convictions, chemistry of culture, chemistry of model. Some of this assessment is a little bit softer. Some of it's a little bit more obvious. Some of it's very, very black and white. But really with chemistry, we're asking the question, is he the right fit for our congregation? Or am I the right fit for that congregation? Or is he the right pastor for our congregation? Again, not just plants, but all churches. And so the biggest aspect here is the chemistry of conviction. And that's a word that we all know of, conviction, firmly held belief. We all have them. Pastors have them. Congregations have them. Sometimes they're aware of those things. Sometimes they're not aware of those things. Under conviction, there are two really big areas that we want to talk about, and that's theology and philosophy of ministry. Matt, talk about those two big overarching categories, theology and philosophy. Let's just start with theology. Why would that matter? Why would alignment or chemistry matter with theology?
Yeah, I could start with a really maybe drastic example here. And we're not going to have this in the AFLC, but perhaps a pastor gets called to a church that wants to ordain women, right? That's a theological difference that's going to be like a non-starter.
We actually do have that.
Maybe that's AFLC. Really drastic. in the AFLC?
Yeah,
hopefully not, right? But the point is that's maybe something that we take for granted. But there's a whole lot of other theology mm-hmm. that we actually maybe there are like open questions on. Okay, so let's start from top to bottom. So top is okay. We're Lutheran. We have Lutheran confessions. That's what it means to be free, living Lutheran, right? So every church, every pastor should subscribe to, right, our basic confession, the small catechism, Augsburg Confession.
Mm-hmm, right.
But I think that we shouldn't assume that. Like that should be, just because you have it on paper doesn't mean that you as a pastor or the call team or the congregation is operating in alignment with what they have on paper.
Right.
You know, that's a part of the beauty of the AFLC is we're very diverse and we have congregations from all types of backgrounds mm-hmm. that have come into the AFLC over the last, you know, so many decades.
Mm-hmm.
So starting with that question, not assuming, you know, that we're all on the same page, I think would be a really, really healthy thing for us of what do you believe as a church? Now, hopefully your call team, your council, your congregation, and the pastor will be able to say, oh, here's what I believe. Like, I'm not having to pull it out of a hat, but we can point to, we have these written theological statements. And then you can have a conversation, kind of another layer mm-hmm. is not just saying this is what we believe, but maybe likely there's going to be maybe particular ways that you articulate that theology or that you embody that theology.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasis, you know, example could be, well, sure, we believe in the real presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, but do we do that every week? Do we do it once a month? Do we do it once a quarter, once a year? What is our practice
mm-hmm.
in that? Because if you had a, you know, pastor who said, man, I want to do it every week, and you had a congregation that says we only want to do it once a month, that could be an area of conflict, right? Someone's going to have to give on that, or maybe it's just not going to be a good fit. So that those theological conversations, you know, starting at that real high level of being Lutheran is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
But then you kind of shift into another level that is, it's not always written, certainly not written in our confessional documents, but this gets into that idea of philosophy of ministry. And that's, mm-hmm. This is kind of a big can of worms we could open with this. What would you say, like, as you think about theology, I mean, that's a little bit easier because it's on paper.
Yeah.
How would you define philosophy of ministry?
Well, I'll just rewind the tape a little bit. On the theology thing, you referenced some of the main theological aspects on, you know, small catechism and Augsburg Confession. We also subscribe to the creeds. Those are things, non-negotiable, foundational things about the faith. I do think that there are other levels here of specific distinctives that congregations can have. I think in the AFLC, we have different camps, you know, that maybe the AFLC doesn't take a strong position on a specific issue, like say eschatology, right? And yet for some of our congregations, maybe one particular view is the dominant view and that they've only ever been exposed to that. And it's something that they really, really care about. And so that's an issue, right? And so I think it's really important to nail down the big issues, but then to see what are some of the threads, what are some of those minor theological issues that really don't rise to the level of fundamental ones, but for that congregation, maybe they have. Maybe they've elevated a certain doctrine as a primary fundamental doctrine. And that's something that you must be aware of, especially in the AFLC where we do have these different camps of theological positions based off of, you know, our backgrounds or where they've come from and all those things. Sometimes those are well known. Sometimes they're not known at all. Sometimes we have churches that you know, might not even really care about being Lutheran. We unfortunately do have some of those things. And just because they have Lutheran in their name, it doesn't actually mean that they're a Lutheran church. And so there's a lot of variety within our AFLC based off of our polity and a few other things. Whether that's good or bad, that's a different discussion, but that's just the reality within our free church. And so the theological foundations and the alignment and chemistry theologically is so important because if we get a guy that might be all over the map on issues that just flat out contradicts what the congregation really cares about, man, that is a recipe for warfare. It's going to hurt the church. It's going to hurt that pastor. And no one is helped when there's not a chemistry fit. It's just really going to be painful. And so not that it's not possible if there's a lot of maturity in the spiritual leadership within a congregation or the spiritual leadership of that pastor and character and all those other things, But oftentimes it's going to be a struggle. And so this is why we would be fools to ignore this issue on theological alignment and chemistry. Okay, so philosophy of ministry, right? So if the theology is the what, right? This is the who, this is a what we are, what we confess, what we subscribe to. The philosophy of ministry is really then the life of that. How is that lived out in the life of the congregation? How do our practices reflect our theology? Or how do we prioritize what we really care about? And you alluded to that about, you know, Lord's Supper as one example, right? Of, hey, does my theology says this, but my practice says this? Are these in alignment or whatnot? Philosophy of ministry is maybe we start getting into the questions of how do we do our worship service or what do we platform? What do we celebrate? All these different types of things. It's a big issue. Oftentimes it's a bigger issue than theology. I know that's not true because these are super related, but the philosophy of ministry is what people feel. It's what people see. It's what people experience. And it's what people, when they leave a church, will talk about. Oh, that felt like this, or that felt like that. And so it's a little bit a softer issue to nail down. And yet so important. Like what would you add to the philosophy of ministry discussion?
Yeah, it is, you know, this, all these, you know, our theology and our you know, culture practices, like all these are woven together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my encouragement is sitting down and thinking about what are those fundamental things that make up our church, right? So I'm thinking now, okay, if you're a congregation or call team trying to call a pastor, thinking through, putting down on paper, what are the things we would be unwilling to get rid of, right? Or what are the things that people really love about our church? And you just begin putting that on paper, because I think that's going to all of a sudden start revealing the things that are non-negotiable for your church. You know, it could be something where a church really loves a specific ministry that they have, and a new pastor or new leader comes in and says, we need to cut this. Massive conflict, right? But if there had been clarity of saying like, no, this is really the heart of our congregation, and that can be communicated in that call process, and the pastor's like, oh man, like I either really love that ministry or man, I have a really hard time getting behind that for whatever reason, then you can save from all that hardship and the fights that could happen when you have clarity on that. So when you're thinking about the philosophy of ministry, it is this really big thing. I think the things that you do, the things that you talk about often, the things that you celebrate, the things that you say describe who your church is, right? This gets into the values of the church as well. If you have written values, church doesn't have to have written values. That's, you know, kind of a modern thing, but it can be really helpful to know what do you really focus on. You can't focus on everything. You can be good at everything, but you can focus on a couple things. What are those? If you have clarity on that as a congregation, a call team, then that's going to really help the pastor who's coming and praying about that call of whether it's a good fit or not.
Yeah. So Matt, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Partly because I think this is something you're really good at, with clarity here, but at Trinity, you know, the philosophy of ministry and closely connected to theology is something that you've thought a lot about, something that you've worked really hard at making a really unifying aspect, and something that you lead with. It's not something you apologize for. It's something that you lead with, something that you've really thought through. So why don't you tell us maybe some of those values that really shape your philosophy of ministry? Just, I know you just have a few of them. Why don't you help us understand what you mean by when you say that?
Yeah. So I think one, you know, maybe that's a bit distinctive for us that we lean into. So this can be also with whether it's theology or philosophy, it can be emphases. And I think that's, you know, and emphases, what is it that you really emphasize? It's not that other churches don't emphasize it. It's what you really, so like for us, one of the big things is we really lean into our being historically rooted. That comes out in how we talk about the church of the past ages, right? That we want to value that voice. It's not scripture, but just value that voice and talk about that often. We want to, you know, follow the church calendar, and we make a lot of that. You know, we have a more liturgical, though, say, what the early AFLC churches had is kind of what our service looks like. A little bit, some people might say a little bit more formal, but a joyful formal at the very same time.
Yeah.
A joyful reverence in that. So all this kind of like the historicalness is a value for us. It's an emphasis for us. So If someone was coming, whether that be a congregant coming to, you know, check us out, or, you know, we're calling a staff member, we're going to want to make sure that that person is not just called by God, that they have character, but that there's good alignment on right. this culture, on these values. Because if there's not, there's going to be a misfit there. So someone's like, man, we think church calendar is just kind of a waste of time. Man, like that's, we spend a lot of time ministering to that, ministering to our families through that, inviting families to live their life through that. So if that was something that an individual just didn't feel like was a value, there wouldn't be a good fit there at all. It'd be, you know, not only would they be just kind of constantly frustrated by it, but they would not be helping propel the ministry forward that God is doing, you know, in our midst through that. So I think that that's like one example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because we have really good clarity on that, it does bring, I think, just an incredible unity within the church.
Yeah.
Because everybody's on board with, hey, this is who they are, and we're not going to fight to try to change that because we recognize this is what they value. Mm-hmm. So this is helpful for new people visiting the church, right? Recognizing it. Staff members that we're, you know, hiring. I think, you know, as we, you know, God willing, are able to possibly plant churches, to recognize like, hey, this is what we're trying to replicate. Like there's clarity on even that. Mm-hmm. So my two cents is like, it's been an incredible blessing. When you have clarity, you know, I heard this phrase often, is that clarity is kindness. Mm. And that just goes all the way around for the church. There's kindness towards the church from the pastor towards the church, towards the parishioners. Let's just be really clear on it. Mm-hmm. And it'd be kind of like marriage, I think of. You know, when you're dating somebody, you don't want someone holding back what they truly are, what they really think. Mm-hmm. And then you get married and they're like, well, actually, you know, you thought I voted, you know, Republican. I actually vote Democrat, right? And it's like, oh, what? So just clearly communicating what you really value theologically and then your emphases is loving.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answered your question.
No, that's really good. Really good. And you could unpack a number of other things that you have shaped. And again, what I love about that is that you've intentionally made that really, really clear for your people. And it's like, you mentioned it, people rally around that. And that's something that I've grown a lot in, of just watching you. And even as I've tried to grow as a pastor too, it's like, this is so important, because the reality is, every church has a philosophy of ministry. They just might not be aware of it. And so then trying to be all things to all men is a philosophy of ministry. And that's going to be a tricky hamster wheel, really, to always be on. But anyway, okay, so philosophy of ministry, super, super important. We kind of illustrated with theology and this issue of why the alignment or why the chemistry is so, so important. We would be fools not to recognize this. It's okay. And I think sometimes we're afraid to talk this way because we don't want to offend people, or maybe we want to take our theology seriously. I can even hear people say, oh, you just care too much about theology. It's like, it's just kind of common sense, right? Mm. It's just the chemistry between a pastor and a congregation. Who wouldn't want that, right? Mm. It just requires a little bit more work up front to make sure that there is alignment, because I guarantee you there's going to be tremendous hardship. We all know stories. I know a number of stories where a pastor and a congregation, it just turned out really, really badly because of this. And so this is not just a sort of theoretical issue. This is a deeply, deeply practical question and issue for our pastors and for our congregations. We have to pursue chemistry alignment between these. That's just, we want health, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't want tension. And that's just the reality within the AFLC, right? There's going to be tension if we're not caring about this. Not rocket science, okay? So maybe shift our focus into the plant world under convictions, okay? So we've kind of already talked about maybe just generally pastor, generally church call team, church congregation, looking at pastoral fits, right? But let's think church planting. So if I'm a guy, for example, Matt, maybe I'm in seminary, maybe I've been a pastor for a little bit, whatever, I don't know. But now I'm thinking, man, this church planting thing looks like maybe I'm being called into this. I have a heart for missions and all this kind of stuff. And I see the AFLC. What are some things of this chemistry of conviction that would relate and apply to a person wanting to plant a congregation within the AFLC?
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're kind of repeating ourselves because it feels so fundamental. And yet, I mean, we've seen situations where it was taken for granted. So yeah, come back. Am I a good theological fit, culture fit for the AFLC? I think that's a really just important question. Is there a you know, areas that I have misalignment with AFLC, mm-hmm. right? So the loving thing is to say like, okay, if I have major areas of misalignment, well, maybe there's a better place that God is calling me to serve. Now, if there's minor areas, there's no perfect church. There's no yeah. perfect church body, right? So we need to recognize that. There's no perfect pastor. So we're not talking about like, oh, there's a little bit of a misstep here. Mm-hmm. You know, we emphasize this and they don't. You know, there's this diversity and there's a beauty in that diversity. I think the AFLC, you know, is really a good picture of that in some ways. We're trying to walk in some ways a tightrope mm-hmm. by saying, well, how diverse can we be and still all be unified? I think that's a question that any church body has mm-hmm. to wrestle with.
Yeah.
So for someone who's considering praying about planting a church, one, they should, am I a good alignment with AFLC? That's mm-hmm. the first question, right? A second one is going to be, am I a good alignment with whatever, if there's a church that's calling me to plant, do I have good alignment with what their expectations are? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have a church in Fargo that's planting and they called somebody to plant. And those are conversations that they had. Like, mm-hmm. what are the expectations of the church? What are the expectations of the planter? Mm-hmm. So that's just asking the question
yeah.
of, hey, what do you think this church is going to look like? What do you think this church should emphasize theologically?
Mm-hmm.
And by asking that question, it's going to open the door. Maybe that call team's never thought about it, but mm-hmm. maybe they have. I'm like, oh, absolutely. Here's, you know, we already have it written down. Then that pastor's going to be able to say like, is this a good fit? Or maybe there's going to be a better fit for
yeah.
me. So would you add to that?
Yeah, I think you said something a minute ago, and I just want to unpack that a little bit more. I think we get into problems by simply assuming that we're all mm-hmm. on the same page. And I see that in the AFLC, and I'm sure it's not unique to us. It's probably in every church body, but you know, maybe a certain pastor has a stamp already from the AFLC, maybe, or they went to our schools or vice versa. Maybe they didn't. And maybe there's just an assumption like, oh, of course he's one of us. He knows who we are. And maybe that's not true at all. I think that has been the case. And it's very mm-hmm. easy just to assume that, well, you know, the family line or all that kind of stuff without actually doing the hard work of understanding, okay, so who is the AFLC? You know, and again, we've gone through that, you know, free living Lutheran, just because a person cares about free church polity doesn't mean that they care about the other two, or just because they care about, you know, living Christianity and pietism and all that kind of stuff doesn't necessarily mean that they're caring about the polity or the Lutheran thing. And just because they're Lutheran doesn't mean that they care about the polity or the, you know, I think we've seen this played out, okay? Mm. And so the worst thing we can do is simply assume. I've heard stories about people going to congregations for call teams and no questions are asked about them. No, hey, where do you stand on this theological question or all these things? It's just sort of an assumption. Well, you're a pastor and we have a need, so therefore it must be a fit. And that's not good. It's not helpful. Mm. And so simply assuming is really pretty dangerous. And also vice versa, to assume because a person didn't go to our schools. Matt, you know, you didn't go to our schools. You went down to DTS, and so therefore you're probably you're a little sketchy, right? That's mm-hmm. a bad assumption, right? And so we have to just do the work of figuring out our identity and leaning into that and celebrating it, right? This is a fun thing. And so maybe this would be a good time to share a little bit about how this maybe can play out in life. Okay. So I have a really good friend. He's one of my best friends. And he has been working through processing if he wants to join the AFLC. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my friend is incredibly gifted, very talented, super smart. And he's been a pastor in another evangelical free church for many years. Right. And so the question is, are you one of us? And it's been fun watching him grow in the last year and a half, 2 years of understanding more of our understanding of the sacraments and his appreciation for just the historic aspect of the church and just the beauty of liturgy. It's not really something that he was super connected to, but really watching him grow into that, it's been really fun. And even watching him grow into an appreciation of more sacramental theology, right? And so there was a discussion about trying to get on a roster and I could just see that it was a hard thing and maybe not where he was at. And it was almost like trying to fit a square into a circle peg, right? Kind of a thing, maybe a circle hole, whatever. And so I just had to sit down and talk to him. I said, hey, you know, it's like, I want the best for you. And a pastor has to be in a congregation that they can champion the convictions. right? Because it's not like they're just something on the side. You are literally responsible to form and to shape and to disciple people for as long as you're there, right? That is your job. And if you can't celebrate and really be excited about the theological positions, it's probably not a good fit. And so we had kind of a hard conversation about that. And it was just really, I think, very freeing for him. He said that was a very freeing conversation of just, yeah, maybe I'm trying too hard. I love the AFLC, but maybe I'm just trying too hard. It's just maybe not where I'm at. And since then, that's just kind of what he's really gotten clarity on, that he's just not quite there on the things. And that's okay. Mm. But it would have not been good to try to force that if it didn't work. And so that's a matter of integrity. And so with that, I'm just thrilled for him, honestly, because now he can be a pastor at a congregation that he's just really on board with across the board. And just simply because he loves the AFLC, he's not going to come in and not really be able to form people into our heritage and identity. And so I think we need to do those hard conversations. Mm. The worst thing we can do is just say, hey, he's an awesome guy. He's super talented. He's super smart. Of course, we want him to serve an AFLC congregation, even though he doesn't really understand our sacramental theology or agree with it. I mean, that's not going to help us in the AFLC. We have seen where we've made mistakes on that. And we think we're helping people, but we're not really. We think we're helping congregations, but we're not. And so the alignment issue, the chemistry issue is really a freeing gift to a pastor and to a congregation. Okay.
What would you say? Yeah, I don't know if we're planning on talking about this later in the conversation, maybe, but what keeps us from that? Like why are we hesitant to have those conversations, would you say, or to overlook those?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I would say one, maybe hesitancy. Man, I think there's probably a number of aspects here, but maybe one is that we don't know who we are. Mm. And so maybe having those questions seems threatening, because it seems like if we are defining something, we feel like maybe we're rejecting people. And actually, that's maybe a second thing. The first one is we don't know who we are, maybe, or we don't really get the full captured picture of what it means to be an AFLC Christian, right? Mm. But secondly, maybe we're afraid of telling a person, you're simply not a fit here. And we think that we're harming that person when we're actually helping that person in allowing that person to be free to teach and confess and to practice the way that they think, right? Mm. And so I feel like we mistakenly think that by wanting chemistry alignment, that we are creating problems when we're actually solving them.
Mm.
Yeah. So maybe fear?
Yeah, desperation. I think that's huge is... Yeah. We tend to, when we're in a desperate situation, we kind of lower the bar for, when you're hungry, you might say, hey, I'm a healthy, I like to eat healthy food. But when you're hungry, you're like, man, I'm going to stop at McDonald's and get something. Like, how does that happen in the church world where you was like, oh man, there's a shortage of pastors or, begin lowering that bar and then not willing to grapple with those hard questions because we're afraid we're not going to have a pastor. And I think that's certainly a temptation well with that.
That's a big issue. And we've kind of talked about that in the past of our goal as with the congregation isn't just to have something that blows up and is good for a year or two, but our goal in all of our church planting, Lord willing, is to have a congregation that is there 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, right? To have a healthy, thriving, maturing congregation that is forming people into Christ. And so that's really significant. And so the alignment of that within our identity and how we read the scriptures is really important. Really important.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So just even thinking, coming full circle here, just within home missions, right? Our job from all the congregations in the AFLC, again, we are association. For those of you that might not understand that, outside the AFLC, we are an association of like-minded congregations working together to operate certain ministries. Home missions is one of those ministries. And so we then have the commission and the call, AFLC, Lutheran Free Church before, to go and plant congregations. That is our call. And so we are not simply to plant any kind of congregation, but rather we are to plant a certain kind of congregation. And that certain kind of congregation is in alignment with those distinctives that we've laid out, you know, the free living Lutheran, all the fundamental principles, all that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so we would be actually not doing our job if we promoted planting of a kind of congregation that did not support and mirror the rest of our congregations and the history of our AFLC. So that's something that's really important for us as a home mission board, as a director, to be in alignment with our identity and our heritage and promoting more and more congregations that fit chemistry-wise with who we are. Just, I think that's important for us to point out. Well, Matt, man, there's more to this discussion. You know, we talked about the chemistry of convictions. That's really the big, big thing. But chemistry of culture is one. Maybe take 30 seconds and just sort of high level, when we talk about chemistry of culture, what are we getting at?
Yeah, I think we kind of already delved into that a little bit. Yeah. Those convictions, those beliefs, those practices, it's born out of our theology, but it's more than that. It's not, theology is not enough to say, well, what do you believe theologically? It's what are the, when someone steps into your church, if they never knew your theology, what would they experience, right? So that's, again, what your worship service looks like, how you carry out your ministry, what you expect of your people, what your people expect of their leaders. I mean, there's all those kind of the feels and the smells of someone's house, right? You go to someone's house, and you're going to learn really quickly, like when you walk in the front door, like how clean do they keep it? How messy do they keep it? Do they like stuff on the walls, or do they like it really bare? Like those are the types of things that is the felt thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's not always on paper, and so those are even harder sometimes to get to, in that we don't write those down on paper as much, but you experience it. Yeah. So going in, this is where like visiting a church and talking to the leaders and asking them to describe, you know, well, what's most important to your church, that you're going to get to some of those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that is really good. And I think if we were to maybe get a more obvious application of this, is like, as you're talking there, you know, philosophy of ministry and all that kind of stuff, but even just general culture within a community, right? Or a congregation, you know, and sometimes we joke about this, but you wouldn't probably put a city slicker into a rural setup. It might work, but in general, it's going to maybe create some issues, a cultural fit, and vice versa too. So, I mean, we kind of get all those things. Usually congregations want to call someone that's going to fit in their community culturally. It's kind of an obvious thing. The last thing, we could dive more into that too, but the last aspect here is chemistry of model. And I think this is primarily looking at church planning. And that's kind of where we're going at here is we've talked about church planning models in the past. There's a reason why we did that. It wasn't just simply to talk about different aspects. It's because certain models are better in certain areas. But what that also means is that certain pastors are going to fit certain models, right? And so if you have a parachute model, you're going to need a certain kind of pastor to fit that requirement. If you're going to have a kind of a model where a church is starting with 30, 40, 50 people, that's also going to look at a certain kind of pastor to fit that model. And so, you know, if you're curious more about that, go back to that episode on models and just start thinking, okay, so what kind of a pastor is going to fit in each of these models? Every context is unique. Every church plant is super, you know, just very individual and contextual. Certain church plants are going to require far more leaders that take risks and that are challenging than others. It's just the way it is. And so wanting to pursue that congregational model fit is also really important. And that, again, that's really kind of in the weeds with home missions within church planting. That's something that we are going to assess. If somebody wants to come to us, we're definitely going to see, okay, what's the best kind of church plant for this specific person based off of maybe their wirings and their giftings? We'll talk about that next week. But the chemistry of models. So we've got chemistry of convictions, and that's the big, big one, right? And that's all you get. Maybe just like that, make that your takeaway. chemistry of culture, chemistry of model. But let's look finally here with some application. We've kind of been teasing this out throughout this whole episode, but let's say that you're just a pastor or a congregation, maybe you're a call team. What's the takeaway here? Okay. What can I take away from this? Matt, what is it? What is the takeaway for a pastor and a congregation?
Yeah. Clarity. So get it. Start writing it down. What do you believe? What is your culture? What is your the model? Start putting it on paper. That's the number one thing. So do this as a call team, do this as a council, do it as congregational leadership, do it as a pastor. What are those things that you hold most dear? Mm-hmm. That at the end of the day, you say, this is what really defines me. You think about this personally, you know, it's like, what defines me as a person? Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Red Sox fan. Oh, I'm a, you know, avid outdoor hunter. Like those things kind of come natural to us, but the church world has the very same thing. So thinking through that and trying to answer those questions, putting it on paper, that's the very first step, getting clarity on who you are.
Yeah, and that's for a pastor and a congregation, not just for a pastor or not just for a congregation. And ideally, if both of those have done the hard work, right, then you can actually have something to talk about. And so whether this is a call process or whatever, it's like the more you know yourself and the more you know, these are the things that I can bend on. You know, it's like if this is a distinctive of the church, oh, that's not that big of a deal. But if this isn't a distinctive of the church, then I'm really going to have a hard time there. Maybe I'm not a good fit. Same thing with the congregation, as you say. So I think you said it earlier in the episode, but clarity is kindness. Clarity is not a bad thing. Clarity is kindness. And so it just simply requires effort. You got to do the work of learning and assessing yourself and assessing one another. And that's only going to produce good things. And I guarantee you, as a congregation, as a pastor, you're going to be blessed by just putting it on paper, because it's going to help you just formulate in your minds, like, yeah, man, this is beautiful. I love this. This is really who we are. It's only going to create good things. So now, if you're a potential guy who wants to plant a church, what are the questions that you should be asking related to this issue of chemistry?
Man, well, are you a good fit for the AFLC? You know, theologically, that's a big one. If there's a church trying to call you to do a plant, are you a good fit for the expectations that that church has? And maybe three, if you're doing a parachute plant, do you have clarity on what those convictions are? Because if you're doing a parachute, like the church that you plant will look like and hold to those convictions that you're putting out there. So I think those would be kind of three layers in my mind. You know, I also just like in this whole thing, if we're also not saying that you're going to have to have perfect alignment, because you're never going to have perfect alignment, right? So kind of also being very practical and realistic about that as well, and walking with grace in that when you have differences. The pastor's not the dictator of like, well, this is what it has to be or else I can't take a call. But also the church has to recognize that the pastor is called to lead and to shepherd, and there has to be a humility there. Yeah. So there has to be a relationship back and forth of graciousness and humility. And if you're in the work of revitalizing, man, you recognize like this is a decades long work of the church possibly maybe having some really unhealthy tendencies that needs to be shepherded out of. If you're a really young pastor, I mean, how many churches lovingly and congregations and councils lovingly kind of help shepherd a brand new pastor and help him mature out of his idealism, right? So this goes both ways. Like we need a whole lot of grace in this whole conversation. We want clarity, but we also need grace in that as well whenever there are differences that are met or that are seen and known, and maybe that's okay and we can navigate that.
Yeah. Yeah, really well said. Really well said. That's a great way to end this episode. So thanks for joining us today. Hope this has been helpful for you as a resource to think through the dynamics of pastoral ministry, congregation looking for a pastor, things like that. But if it's been helpful, again, subscribe to this, share it with your friends, listen to this as a council, discuss what you're learning, and hopefully the Lord will use this to help you and your congregation or you as a pastor in your future ministry. If you're interested in exploring church planting at all, just learning more about it within the AFLC, we'd love to visit with you. Contact us at AFLC Home Missions. See you next time.